read the Word of God this morning in Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Our text is verses 2 and 3 and 7. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. We have here a Psalm of David. No, we are not told that in the psalm itself or the notations around the psalm, but we are told that by the author of Hebrews, that this was David's song or psalm. And you'll notice that this psalm is divided almost in half. It begins with an exhortation to joy, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. It would be nice if that psalm would end there. But not only must there be an exhortation to praise God and give thanks, but there is also a warning given to those who do not, who harden their heart over against all the displays of God's goodness. It was Governor Bradford who in 1621 led the Puritans in a Thanksgiving meal. Of the 123 souls that came over, there were 56 that survived, thankful for the bountiful feast that they had that particular year. And the first national Thanksgiving Day was in 1789, and it is later on that President Lincoln made it an annual national Thanksgiving Day. Why must God's people be exhorted to give praise and to give thanks and to be warned if they don't. Is it not the corruption of our hearts that we need to be exhorted to thanksgiving? For you see, it is not the nature of mankind to be thankful. But the nature of mankind is to be greedy, to be complainers, to be grumblers, even as Israel was shortly after they stepped out of the land of Egypt. They were redeemed. They saw the wonders of the Lord when dry ground was opened up for them through the Red Sea. But very shortly afterwards, we find them grumbling and complaining, don't we? We need to be ashamed of our poverty of spirits. Do we as God's people? And then the question comes, does America as a nation know anything about true thanksgiving? How are we corrupted as a nation? To be politically correct, people talk about happy holidays instead of a blessed Christmas, taking Christ out of that holiday. And as I was reading the press a week or two ago, there were those who were suggesting the name of Friendsgiving instead of Thanksgiving. Take God out of that day also, so that the day becomes gathering together with friends and having plenty of alcohol as long as you don't drive right away afterwards, and then we can all be merry. Poverty. Not only as a nation, but by nature, each one of us. Were our thoughts on giving thanks to God? Or were we already in the last days, or perhaps this morning, opening up all the ads that come, looking at what more we can get? Greed. Things. How we need to sing that song, "Come, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, tune my heart to sing thy praises." Thanksgiving that we give on this feast day. Thanksgiving that we give every Lord's Day when we come together to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. Not only the physical things, but especially the spiritual harvest of which Christ is the first fruits, isn't he? Christ arose. And therefore, we have life. What a harvest. What a harvest the Lord is gathering through his Christ. So notice with me, we have, because we are so corrupt, so depraved, grumblers and complainers, an exhortation to true thanksgiving. An exhortation to true thanksgiving. Notice the reasons given in this psalm. Notice, second of all, in this psalm, how it is to be given. And then notice, thirdly, the warning that comes to us. What reasons are there to give thanks? And the eye of the psalmist is not upon the circumstances in our lives, whether we have much or whether we have little, whether we're healthy or whether we're ill. But his eye is on the giver. He says, "O come, let us sing unto Jehovah. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let's start there. David, as he writes his psalm, is thinking of the tabernacle. And there in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And there between the cherubim on the mercy seat, the Lord was pleased to dwell with his people. What a cause to sing. Oh, come. Let us come before his presence. And over that tabernacle there was the cloud of his glory. God dwelling with his people. Here's the first reason that you and I can give thanks, whatever our circumstances, wherever we are. Everywhere, God is present with us. He is present in this world, and everything that happens there, this world is not left to itself. But he who made this world loves this world, as we read in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved his creation, his cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son not only to redeem his people, to redeem our souls, but this present creation, now groaning because of sin, is going to be renewed. God is present everywhere, and God is especially present in his grace and his glory to his people. Yes, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. O come. O come, let us sing to Jehovah. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Verse 3 tells us, for the Lord, that is Jehovah, is a great God. Let's back off a little bit. Let's stop there first. Let us rejoice because God is the God whom we love. This God displays himself. This God makes himself known to us. He makes himself known to us in the creation around us, an eloquent book that speaks of his power and his glory. God is the God who displayed or made himself known by the sacred scriptures. The God who reveals himself as creator and the rock of our salvation. God is. We know him. Consider a moment. Consider a world where God is not. That's the world that today's society believes in and teaches in evolution. Things just come into by chance. They just evolve. And it's left up to us to try to do all that we can to evolve higher and become better. What a sick, sick world that would be if God is not in it. For we see, rather than things evolving for the better, things spiraling downhill. Not only as things break down in nature, sickness and death, but also morally. Nations become so corrupt that they become objects of God's wrath, and God gives them over in his wrath to do unimaginable sinful things. How we need God. Yes, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, for God is. He's in a class by himself. How we need God. How does the psalmist put it? The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their food in due season. What a joy for us to know as believers that this world is in God's hands, isn't it? That's what the psalmist says in verses 4 and 5. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. In his hand is the hills. In his hand is the sea. He made it. And his hands formed the dry land. This world is in God's hands. O come, let us into his presence with thanksgiving, for God is. And as we read his word and as we come to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ, we know not only that he is, but we know him in all of his glorious attributes. Something not just for high school students to learn in essentials and then to pass on, but something for you and I as God's people to contemplate, to think about every day of our lives. God is the glorious God. And that's why the psalmist goes on, for the Lord is a great God. Compared to all the gods of our making, Israel would come out of Egypt with all of her gods, and she would go into the land of promise with all the other gods around her. And how often, rather than loving her God, she turned to the idols of the nations. And while we're hard on Israel of old in the Old Testament, how often don't we turn to the one true God to gods of our own making? Whether it be silver or gold or financial position or honor, things that we covet and things that we hold to ourselves, and they become very precious to us, so precious that they sit alongside of God in the throne of our hearts. Come into his presence with thanksgiving, for our Lord, that is Jehovah, is a great God. That is, he alone is God. Oh, come to know him in his attributes, and come to know him in all of his great works, whether it be in creation or redemption. Know him and rejoice. Come into his presence with thanksgiving because he is a great God, which gives meaning to our lives, gives purpose to our lives. For without God, what would life be except like an animal, eating and drinking and getting for ourselves, only to live for a little while and then to return to the dust, over and done. But our life has meaning. Each day has meaning. Each morning has meaning, and every evening has meaning, because we live not for ourselves, but God. Jehovah is a great God. We come into his presence with thanksgiving because this great God is, as the psalmist sings, our maker and our redeemer. Verse 6, O come. A verse that is used quite often used for our call to worship, isn't it? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He who created and fashioned us in our mother's womb and has preserved us through that time of pregnancy and preserves us every day afterwards. He's our maker. Our maker who knows our needs, and our maker who provides then all that we stand in need of for body and soul. Oh, come into his presence with thanksgiving. He is not only our maker, but the psalmist begins with an even greater work than creation, doesn't he? Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. When David wrote this psalm, salvation was pictured only in types and shadows, wasn't it? They had the tabernacle, they had the altar, they had the sacrifices that were made on it, they had all the promises, and they believed. But you and I in 2015 know Him who is that promised seed. We know the Christ. Yes, we know what is given to us in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of our sins. The very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is imputed to us. We're given the Holy Spirit so that we may live as God's people. We have eternity waiting for us. Oh, come into His presence with thanksgiving, for the Lord our God is our Maker and our Redeemer. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Verse 7. For He is, notice, our God. And we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Give thanks that you not only know, are aware about God. Give thanks that you not only that God exists and that He's a great God, but by sovereign election He is our God. He has established a relationship with us. He speaks to us and we're able to respond to Him in songs and prayer and gifts and godly living. He is our God and we are His people. So often when people introduce themselves, they want to know about each other. And how do people usually respond? Well, I work at such and such a place, and I've been married so many years, and this and that. We give all those temporal things about ourselves, and we neglect to mention the most important thing. Give thanks. I'm a child of God. He chose me and He has taken me up into His own life and taken up into that divine life, that covenant friendship in God Himself. He works it in our hearts so that we can live that in our lives. We love Him and we're able as husbands to love our wives and wives to love our husbands. We're able to love as parents our children and children are able to love their parents, and we're able to have that friendship and fellowship, that covenant life here as a church. Why? Give thanks to God. It's His gift to us. David sings this. Give thanks, for He is our God. That's the right order in the psalm, isn't it? He is our God, and that's why we are His people. It's not that we made Him our God, but He made us His people. And when we read those words, we pause and we think of how unfaithful we are. If it was left up to us, there'd be no relationship. But even while we're unfaithful, He is faithful. How faithful He has been to us another year. Adding to the church such as should be saved. Adding by birth. Adding through adoption. Adding through missions. How faithful He has been in bringing a companion to young men or to young women, marriages. How faithful He's been when we've seen young people stand up in the midst of God's people and say, this God is my God, and this His church, I love it. It's because of God and His faithfulness. faithful again in this year as loved ones, fellow saints, some very young in life, some have reached the golden years and were declining in health, and the Lord took them home to be with Himself, so that death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Faithful. So that we still stand as a church. In midst of lots of apostasy, we don't start around saying, "Ha, we remain faithful." No. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. He preserved us as His people. He preserves His church in the midst of apostasy. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. We read in verse 7, because we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Thanksgiving because of His love. His love as our shepherd, the good shepherd, who in His Son, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for the sheep. Oh, what intimate love we know of that shepherd. Love for His flock. So that we're able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have any want. Nothing will be lacking." Circumstances change, but the Lord is for me. He's my shepherd. He holds me in His hand, and no one can snatch me away. What mercies. And on this Thanksgiving Day, let's sing of those mercies in Lamentations chapter 3. It's because His mercies are new every morning. We are not consumed. Great is Thy faithfulness. The psalmist calls us, child of God, to give thanks. Or the apostle Paul in the New Testament, again, has to come with that exhortation to God's people. In everything, give thanks. Always be thankful. We need to hear that exhortation. This God, a great God, is our God, our shepherd. How do we give this thanks? How do we give it? Notice the word joy is repeated in verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Not mumble. But let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Again, verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him. Joy. Do you have that joy? Does it show in your face? Does it show in your singing? Does it show in your life? Joy of being a child of God. The joy of knowing God. The joy of belonging to Him. The joy of being saved by Him. A joy in all that He does in our life. And how do we show that psalm, especially according to this, our verse? Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. With psalms. Be thankful. Be thankful this morning for your Psalter. Be thankful that the children in school learn those psalms. When we come together as a congregation, you hear the little children singing those psalms right along with us. What joy that ought to bring in our hearts to hear the little ones whether it be in school programs or here in the congregational singing, knowing these songs that the Holy Spirit Himself has given to the church. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Are you thankful for those psalms? You see, if the heart is full, then one cannot remain silent, can they? They have to break forth in singing. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 3, we enter into His courts with thanksgiving and we are joyfully singing the psalms. Why? Psalm 40, verse 3, because He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. And many will see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He has put that new song in our hearts, and that's why that song is able to come on our lips and we express it with the singing of the psalms. So first of all, it's done joyfully. And second of all, we bring this thanksgiving with reverence. The psalmist says in verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. How do we worship? Not frivolous worship. Not a worship without content. Not reckless when we come before the Lord's presence. Boys and girls, you remember when God confronted or came to Moses. And when Moses was confronted with God and stood in God's presence, he took the shoes off from his feet, for he was standing on holy ground. What we so often forget, and what the church, in the broader term, often forgets, is that worship isn't about us. Worship is about God. How often we think it's about us. What did I get out of it? What did I like, or what did I not like? Worship is about God. Oh, come into His presence with singing, with a joyful noise, bowing down and kneeling, because He's a holy God and we're sinners. Reverent worship, we have a lot to learn about that, don't we? One thinks of Israel when the ark was being returned from Philistia. The Philistines didn't want anymore because their gods were falling over and because their people were plagued, and so they send it back. And when the Israelites first received that Ark of the Covenant, they were so joyful and curious that they looked inside of it. And God was angry. God is very careful about His worship. And when David goes down to take the ark up, he also is not careful. He is not reverent. Instead of hearing how God wants to be worshipped, he comes with his own plans. He comes with his cart and he puts the ark on it. And the oxen stumble and the cart is steadied and the man dies. Reverence. Oh, come, kneel down before Him, bow before Him. Reverent worship. That's forgotten. The church too often today wants to join with a culture, have all kinds of bands, entertainment. God comes and He tells us how we are to worship. Come, let us bow down, let us kneel before Him. Thirdly, our worship is to be a public worship, isn't it? Oh, every day of our lives. But what a beautiful call to worship in verse 6. Oh, come. Come, says David. Notice how he says it over and over three times. Oh, come, verse 1. Verse 2, let us come before his presence. And now again, verse 6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Yes, worship begins in the heart. And worship begins in our homes, in our families. And we cry out to each other in our families, but also together as the family of God. And we say, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. God's people joining together with one voice to sing the praises and the adoration and the glory that belongs to the Great One, the Rock of our salvation. Yes, how do we come with thanksgiving in worship, where there's a beautiful dialogue? God comes and he speaks to us, and then the Holy Spirit gives us language to sing back to him, to pray to him, and to give our gifts. That dialogue like two lovers, God and his bride, his people, speaking together. How do we bring this thanksgiving forthly, humbly? For he is a great God. And who are we? We are creatures of the dust. And we're not merely creatures of the dust, but we're sinful creatures, complainers, greedy. So often our worship is not full of zeal, and our obedience is so small. Humbly. Again, in the words of a songwriter, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Humility. And fifthly, with sincerity. With sincerity. With enthusiasm. With holy eagerness. Do you see that in this psalm? David says, and the people say together, oh come, let us come together. Oh come, worship and bow down. Holy eagerness on this Thanksgiving day. Holy eagerness every Sabbath day when we come together. Holy eagerness as we come around our table. And we give our thanks for all that the Lord has given to us. With sincerity. Wouldn't you agree with me that so often, maybe I need to speak for myself, so often religious singing is not to the Lord, but religious singing is for the ears of others. And for their approval. Our worship has to be with a fervent intent that God is praised. God's name is held high. There is no other God like him. Directed to him alone. Worship to the rock of our salvation. Not to ourselves. Wouldn't it be nice if David could end this psalm here? But he can't. And even as we sing renditions of this psalter, we have to keep together the warning that comes with it. The end of verse 7. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts How tragic is the absence of that true thanksgiving. Not only in our nation, but in each of our lives. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. And then the rest of this whole psalm, while summoned to worship, many do not. How tragic. How urgent. What an exhortation is here. Israel saw the wonders of the Lord as He opened up the Red Sea. They saw the wonders of the Lord as Pharaoh and his host were destroyed and Egypt was destroyed and they were saved. But they hardened their hearts. They saw His work, but they hardened their hearts. They should have been celebrating. They should have been worshiping. They should have been filled with thanksgiving. But instead they were murmuring and grumbling and saying, "Would that we were still back in Egypt." Are you full with thanksgiving because you know your redemption from the bondage of sin, of which Egypt was only a type? Are you full of thanksgiving? Perhaps you say, "Well, Pastor, if you knew my circumstances, if you knew what I had to go through this past year, sorrows, sickness, troubles, are we grateful or are we as cold as a stone? Are we filled at times with ingratitude? It's not fair, we say. You see, we're not too much different from Israel. How often don't we forget what we've heard every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, forgetting how good God is? But again, you say, "But Pastor, you don't know my afflictions." No, I don't, but God does. God does. And if we look at all of our afflictions rather than grieving and being troubled and angry, we should be surprised, shouldn't we? Rather than wondering at how many afflictions we have, we should wonder at how few they are. How sinful we are. We deserve far greater affliction in our lives. But God is our maker and the rock of our salvation. God is good. What is the reason for that ingratitude of Israel of old and of Israel today? Is it not unbelief? Is it not a lack of knowledge of my own sinfulness? If only we were more focused on Christ and we were more focused on our own unworthiness. Oh, look, child of God, look at what we have in Christ Jesus. We, you and I, are hell worthy, but we are saved by God's sovereign electing love in Christ Jesus. Oh, grasp that this Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving does not depend upon our circumstances. But rather than looking at our affliction, examine what is my response to that affliction. Give thanks, for God works all things together for good to them that love Him. Yes, give thanks, for we know this God. He's revealed Himself. He's come down to us in Jesus Christ, the God of our salvation. Boys and girls, you remember Daniel? The king made a decree. No one could pray to anyone else except to the king. Daniel knew what the decree of the king was. He knew what would happen to anyone that disobeyed. They'd be thrown into the lion's den. Does he say, woe is me? Oh, what a rough life we have here. The answer is no. He went to his house with the open windows, and he faced the window toward Jerusalem, knowing that others would see him. And he prayed and he gave thanks to God. Thanks for what? Thanks for a broken down Jerusalem, not one stone left on another. Thanks for a signed decree that anyone that would pray would be fed to the lions. He gave thanks that he knew that he was in God's hands. His maker and redeemer. His future was secure. Give thanks. Come, sing unto the Lord, the rock of our salvation. The warning here, today, if ye hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't go after those other gods and get greedy and become complaining and grumbling if you don't have those things. Oh, our depravity. And oh, the beauty of Christ Jesus. In him, we have everything. Kneel before your Maker. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Not in our own strength. We're weak. But that's where the Holy Spirit is, that great gift of God. He fills us with a bounty of God in Christ Jesus, doesn't he? And he teaches us. He puts that new song in our hearts. How terrible it would be, how terrible it is, if we come into his presence without giving thanks. Yes, come into his presence and tell him your fears. Tell him your troubles, your concerns. But come to him with thanksgiving. He is our God. And he works all things for our good. Come. Come not now to receive from the Lord, but come to give. To give thanksgiving. Worship the Lord. Give him thanks. Do that this morning. Giving your thanks, showing your thanks financially. Showing your thanks with your songs and your prayers. Extol him. As you sit as families around your tables, extol him to your children and your children's children. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. The warning. A warning not just for the Old Testament Israel, for the author of Hebrews quotes, doesn't he, this psalm in Hebrews 4. He quotes it. Woe unto us if we hear his voice and we harden our hearts, we will not enter into his rest. Oh, come. The exhortation. We shouldn't have to be exhorted. We shouldn't have to be warned. But we're so sinful, so corrupt. God comes with his word. He comes to you and me this morning and for the rest of this year and next year, every day of our life. Oh, come. Come into his presence with joyful singing of psalms. Come into his presence, bow down, and give thanks. Amen. Father in heaven, what tongue shall speak of all the gifts that flow to us in thy love through Jesus Christ? We thank thee for who thou art, for what thou hast done, and what that means to our lives. Receive our humble, sincere, and enthusiastic thanks. Teach our hearts to sing that thanks every day. Amen. Let's turn to Psalter number 206. To thee, O God, we render thanks. To thee, give thanks sincere, because thy wondrous works declare that thou art ever near. Let's sing stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.